The inspired writer said in Psalm 119, verse 104 and 105, "Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." While the following scripture study cannot be exhaustive, it is designed to provide insights toward a better understanding of God's word, awareness of ways that are false, and encouragement to study more so that you may live rightly in this world and live forever in heaven.
That great book of Hosea is in a class all by itself. There's nothing else just like it throughout the rest of the Bible. There's sadness and doom coupled with hope and sweetness rippling across its pages. Some commentaries label Hosea as more sob than sermon, and a love story that went wrong, as they label Hosea the prophet of the sorrowful heart. This grand treatise is a very tender section of Holy Scripture that ought to challenge and enrich our hearts. One of the sterling points in the entire book of Hosea is found in chapter 2, verse 7, where we learn that life with Jehovah is always the better way. C.P. Jones wisely wrote, "There's nothing so precious as Jesus to me. Let earth with its treasures be gone. I'm rich as can be when my Savior I see. I'm happy in Jesus alone." Hosea wept over Israel's sin 7 centuries prior to Christ, but the errors of God's people then parallel our problems today. One grave mistake in that long-ago era was the fruitful nature of Israel in secular realms, but its barren success in spiritual pursuits. The tragedy of secularism haunts the church even today. If all the talented folk who are supposed to be Christians would really stand up for Jesus, how bright and influential would be our plea. Hosea's heartache centered on this same problem in his day. Strong politically and economically, Israel was a half-baked cake in spiritual matters, good for nothing, raw on one side and burned on the other. Hosea 7, verse 8. They had eaten the fruit of lies and had trusted in military might instead of the power of godliness. Hosea chapter 10, verses 13 to 15. As a result, God's people were reaping the whirlwind of the seed sown in sin. Hosea 8, 7. Hosea's excruciating experience with his own faithless wife paralleled God's sorrow with Israel, his gadding bride. Trusting more in the nations around them than in the true and living God brought shallowness into the northern kingdom of Israel. The citizens of Samaria, the capital city, needed to return to the Valley of Achor for the disciplinary chastening that would provide their only door of hope. Read Hosea 2:15, and then the saga of Achan in Joshua 7, who brought sin into the camp. There was no truth, mercy, or knowledge in the land, and the very earth mourned, chapter 4, verse 3. The ancient landmarks were being removed, Hosea 5:10, as Satan rejoiced over the adulterous actions of a decadent society. It is chapter 6 that projects the major thrust of this eloquent treatise known as Hosea. One dynamic verse states, "Let us press on to know the Lord." This word for know refers to intimate knowledge, as the Bible view of a husband knowing his wife, Matthew 1:25. Sadly, however, God's bride was unfaithful and flippant, like the dew that goes away early. The Creator, nonetheless, demands steadfast love, leal love, the Scots say, love with loyalty. Chapter 6, verse 6 of Hosea. In the Revised Standard Version, we learn how seriously degraded Israel had become. Hosea 6:10 vividly affirms, "In the house of Israel I've seen a horrible thing. Ephraim's harlotry is there, Israel is defiled." Surprisingly, the northern kingdom seemed to think they could hide their sins from the all-seeing God of heaven. In 7:2 of Hosea, we read this piercing word, "But they do not consider that I remember all their evil works." Yes, our Father above records all things in a book of remembrance. "They do not cry to me from the heart," is the startling avowal of Hosea 7:14. In Ezekiel 33:31, we have a similar word. "They hear what you say, but they will not do it, for with their lips they show much love, but their heart is set on their gain." Such disregard for divine emphasis made Israel like a silly dove, chapter 7, verse 11, flitting back and forth between lovers, Egypt or Assyria, and forsaking the Lord. The vulture of iniquity and doom hovered over the house of God, Hosea 8:1, multiplying altars of idolatry, forgetting their maker, trusting in weapons and material strength. These points made God promise to devour their strongholds. Truly, the day of recompense and the day of punishment had come. Hosea 9:7. The orchards and vineyards were luxuriant, but Israel was spiritually barren. They were fruitful, but not for God. The very sons of Jehovah were guilty of double iniquity, chapter 10, verse 10. As Isaiah 30, verse 1 states, rebellious children add sin to sin. How desperately they needed to break up uncultivated soil and to sow a rich crop of righteousness. Chapter 10, verse 12. They had eaten the fruit of lies long enough, yet God loved them still and with deep compassion drew them with bands or cords of love. Indeed, He loved them freely and fully. Chapter 11, verse 4 and chapter 14, verse 4. Just as Hosea loved his unfaithful wife and redeemed her from a life of impurity, Jehovah maintained a love for his nation so steeped in infidelity. What matchless concern. Even the land would mourn for the shame of the impurity of Israel, who should have been righteous, faithful, and loving to her bridegroom. A typical reference to the decline of spiritual fervor is chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Jehovah has always demanded truth, mercy, and sincere devotion of His servants. Chapter 4, verse 1. Loss of well-being before God is the result of failing to meet these requirements. Israel had destroyed this beautiful concord. They had cast off the thing that was good. Hosea 8, 3. The great things of the law were counted as strange words. They had forgotten their Maker. Chapter 8, verses 12 to 14. It was way past time to seek the Lord. God has always demanded more than lip service. Hosea forever proves that Old Testament worthies offered praise from the depths of their hearts, or it wasn't accepted. Half-hearted worship never has been anything but noise to God. Amos 5:23. Jehovah would only receive mercy and not sacrifice. Hosea 6:6. Burnt offerings from singed consciences would never suffice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. 1 Samuel 15:22. Israel had played the harlot and had no right to rejoice. Chapter 9, verse 1 of Hosea. Because they would not listen to God, they would aimlessly wander among the nations. They would cry for the very mountains to hide them from the wrath of their Creator. But they would be buried under the ruins caused by sin. As the northern kingdom slipped more and more into the oblivion sin always brings, a deeply compassionate God would cry in the language of Hosea 11:8, "How shall I give thee up, O Ephraim?" In the final chapter, we learn that the Lord's ways are right and just, and we should walk therein. But the way of the transgressor is hard. Brother L.O. Sanderson provides us with a fitting close for these thoughts. We must go the narrow way till the sun goes down. God's commands we must obey till the sun goes down. Every day the Lord confessing with true hearts, our wrongs redressing, if we would obtain the blessing when the sun goes down. May we always show our love to God with reverential loyalty.
The message you have just heard was brought to you by the Church of Christ.